Welcome back in everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. This is an amazing episode. You have tuned in on the right episode because today we are talking about the recent Tony Award winner for Best Musical, Best New Musical, among other awards. And joining us today, we have one of the leads, the amazing actress Emma Pittman, who plays the role of Cherry Valance. Of course, we are talking about The Outsiders, the musical, which is now playing at the Jacobs Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting telecharge.com. If you didn't catch their performance at the Tony Awards, I would highly suggest you Google it. And then once you've seen that and you've been motivated, get your tickets whenever you can, because the show is so, so good. Beautiful music, incredible story. It's visually mind-blowing. The cast is one of the hardest working casts on Broadway. So it's definitely well worth seeing once, twice, 15 times, however many you can get there. But we are so excited to be having this wonderful actress joining us, a friend of us here at Stage Whisper. So let's go ahead and welcome her in. Emma, welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my great honor to be here.
Oh, the honor is all ours. I'm so excited. We first met you when you did Back to the Future recently, and now here you are starring in The Outsiders as Cherry Valance. This is all so exciting. So why don't we go and start by having you tell us a little bit about what The Outsiders, the musical, is about.
The Outsiders is a musical adaptation of a book that was written by a young girl named Susie Hinton. She wrote it when she was about 15 years old in Tulsa, Oklahoma, about her life experience in Tulsa. There are many interviews of her talking about being a high schooler and being a young kid and seeing all these books that were supposedly the young person experience. But she was like, that's not what I'm seeing. So you know what? I'm going to write what I've been observing, what I've been experiencing. And while it's not based on real people, like the characters are not real people, you know, from her life, the circumstances are a real experience that she has lived through. And the story follows Pony Boy, who is basically your narrator. He's got a best friend named Johnny Cade, and he is a member of the Greasers, who are born on the east side of Tulsa. They have, you know, a little bit of grease to them, not just in their hair, but also in the way that they live their lives. And they are constantly in a battle with the Socs, which is short for socialites. Those are the rich kids that live on the west side who seem to have everything all together and a very promising future because of the side of the tracks that they were born on. And you go through the story of Pony Boy's life as a 14-year-old kid with his best friend as they go through a lot. I'm not going to spoil it if you've never read it, but it's a really beautiful story about what it means to be a kid, what it means to grow up in different socioeconomic situations, and what it means to survive.
That is a brilliant description of the piece. I love
it. Thank
you. So let me ask, how is it that you came across the show?
Ooh, well, I remember seeing a listing, if you will, of the show on Playbill, and they were doing a casting call. Now, this was back in 2019 when it was a completely different director. And I had initially sent in a self-tape. I didn't hear anything. That was that. Then in last year, fall of last year, 2023, I had my agent sent me an audition for a workshop that they did in the fall. They had a movement workshop and a reading workshop. And I was like, ooh, I would love to do this, because I knew that I loved the material from when I was a kid. I mean, I read the book when I was in the, you know, sixth or seventh grade. And then I actually did a play version of The Outsiders when I was in the 10th grade, and I played Marcia. And I remember loving Cherry and feeling like I related to Cherry growing up in Mississippi. And so I was super excited to get that audition because I knew that the piece meant a lot to me as a young kid who grew up, you know, in a small-ish town in Mississippi, but also for that sweet, you know, 10th grade Emma who admired Cherry from afar. I was like, it would be so cool to read the words and sing the songs for this possible, you know, story, this possible musical telling of this amazing story.
I love that. That's a wonderful journey to this piece.
It's very special.
So let me ask you, you know, this is an iconic, not only book, but film, you know, from the 80s. This is where the Rat Pack originated, with Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, all of those great characters. You're
Sure.
bringing this iconic film and book to the stage. What has it been like developing the show?
You know, this show has been in development for over 10 years. And in the development of it, it's gone through different directors. It's gone through many different casts. It's gone through many different iterations of like which characters are being portrayed in this story. Like there are many characters that have made it onto the stage and been, you know, taken off of the stage. I mean, they've worked really hard to figure out what is the clearest story, like what is the clearest telling of this story on the stage. Because obviously with a book, you're able to tell so many other stories and go down so many other avenues because it's in writing and it gets to imagine, it gets to live in the imagination of your head. But when it comes to theater, like what you see on the stage is what you get. And there's not like little subplots here and there that you can get to know without it being out into the text. And so without it being too wordy, not to mention that these are kids, like they wouldn't use lots of words. They wouldn't have a lot of dialogue to be able to describe how they're feeling or what they're going through because they're kids, you know. When we're kids, we're very simple speakers, I think. And because we're still figuring out how to use our words to describe what our experience is. So they have done a lot of work on how they wanted to tell this story. And I think one of the coolest ways that they did is that they made Pony Boy be the narrator of this story, which is the way that it is in the book, but it's a lot clearer here in this, or not a lot clearer, but I think it is a great mode of communication for this story because you get a little inside information about each character from Pony Boy while he's still living the experience of this memory.
I love that. I love that. That is really brilliant. And that's so fun to kind of look behind the curtain and find out how the sausage was made, if that makes any sense. You know, I don't think a lot of
100%.
Now, with this great piece, I mean, it's very much a coming of age piece, too. And it relates to such a broad demographic. I mean, you have older people who grew up with the book or people who grew up with the movie. And then, of course, you've got this younger audience that really can identify with that teen angst that exists. Is there a particular message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from the show?
I think for me, there are two. And I think for the show at large, there's definitely one. One that I feel like is, it's our final message as we're closing out the show is stay gold. When Pony Boy reads a letter from Johnny, where Johnny describes the meaning behind the Robert Frost poem, you know, that he says when he's in the church after this big incident that happens in the play, Pony Boy recites the Robert Frost poem, and Johnny then kind of elaborates on what it means, like, just because life is hard sometimes and life, you know, can get you down, like it's really important to celebrate the small things and to notice the beauty in the little tiny things and to take moments to be grateful and find moments of gratitude in your life, because even though life is tough, life is also very, very beautiful. And the last thing that we should do while we're living it is forget that. So that's one big message, I think, is like, you know, finding the little good moments in life, because life is already going to be hard. And then I think the other message, just for me as someone who plays Cherry, which is a character that meets Pony Boy in his, you know, in this beautiful story, and they see each other for the first time as people instead of as greasers and socias. It's an opportunity where they meet over their mutual love of literature and also art and the beauty of the sunset. And they have like, they just have a real person to person community, like connection. And I think playing that part every night, I always find joy in being able to see past the grease, if you will, for lack of a better, you know, not seeing past the cover of someone's book. One of the messages that I hope that people receive through particularly Cherry and Ponyboy's experience in this story is just, you know, allow yourself to have empathy for other people before you even meet them. Allow yourself to give people the benefit of the doubt. Give yourself the opportunity to see past their grease or their cover so that when, you know, the next time you're having a bad day or maybe you're not at your best, somebody else is giving you that grace that you give so freely.
Those are beautiful ideas. So you've all just come off of having a great run at the Tony Awards, including picking up the crown jewel Best New Musical. Who are you hoping have access to your show, The Outsiders?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. I had the privilege of, I'm going to go on a tiny tangent here, but then it will answer this question. I had the privilege of doing the Broadway.com vlogs when we started doing our opening night all the way through almost to the Tonys. The last one was like the week before the Tonys. And through the Broadway.com vlogs, I got to talk to fans. I got to like connect with people who love Broadway from afar, like sometimes as far as other countries, places all the way around the world. And in doing that vlog series, I came to love vlogging. I came to love, you know, capturing moments in my week and looking back on them and reflecting and being very grateful for the thing that I get to do. And the fact that I get to share it with people who might not ever get the chance to see it, let alone who might not know about some of the behind the curtain type stuff, you know? So I have started my own channel because of those Broadway.com vlogs and that connection to the fans who might not be able to get to see it for a while, or, you know, they're hoping that it's their Christmas present, or, you know, people who might not be able to make the trip for some time. I love being able to give them that inside scoop without them even having to be here. So I would definitely say that the CD that's coming out in a week or something, and also the cast album that's already released on Spotify and Apple Music, is such a great invitation for people who aren't going to have the chance to be here. And I think that is the biggest reach for this show. Like the music, I remember when I first did the workshop, the music was the thing that blew me away, that immediately connected me to the piece, because Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine just had a way with, again, simple words, because they're kids and some of them, you know, uneducated, they had such a great way of conveying the story of this book into the music. And I can tell since we've released the cast album on Spotify and Apple Music and other streaming platforms, it has reached so many people, and that is such a gift.
The second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to know, first off, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites?
Oh man, I had the absolute privilege of seeing Merrily on July 4th because we had the day off and they had a matinee. And so I was like, I have to see that show. It was a show that my college did when I was a freshman. I wasn't cast in it. It was already cast by the time I came in. And so I got to see it every single performance because it was something that impacted me so much. The music, so beautiful. The story is so beautiful. And it's something that is, I mean, we're doing it, you know, this is the thing that in the time I was going to school for, and like then to see it now, I was like, and now this is the thing that I have the privilege of being a part of, especially with The Outsiders. Like it has gone through years of its creation, of its inception, to then finally actually make it onto the stage and then to be acclaimed by, you know, the not just the Tonys, but also like all of the people who come and who want to come again, like Hope's mom, like, you know, the fact that she saw it was like, we have to go back and I have to bring this person and that person, you know, like that Merrily was a show that was a really big deal to me in college. And it was so cool to see it again this time around. And the performances were absolutely out of this world. Jonathan Groff was unbelievable in that show. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think what else. I love a bit of dancing, so I love a chorus line a lot. That's a classic for me as well. I got to do that in college, and it's again one of those gifts that always keeps giving, and it will always come to you at different parts of your life, and you'll relate to different people in it. And I think that's what makes it really cool and like timeless, even though it is a period piece at the same time. Oh gosh, what else? Ooh, I don't know. I mean, Anne Rankin is such a big part of my career because in 2019, I did the Search for Roxy, and she was among the panel of judges who picked me to be the next Roxy on Broadway before COVID happened. And so to know that all of her legacy, because she passed away during COVID, to know that I got to be a little tiny part of that legacy is like one of my favorite parts about this career that I am building slowly and also somehow quickly at the same time. It's been really cool to have a little part in her legacy, being a part of Chicago and being a part of the ensemble after working there as Roxy for a while, and just knowing that I have a second family in that building always. Yeah, those are my three. Those are the three that I'll say for now.
Love it. Those are great, though. Those are fantastic. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Oh man, I think my favorite part is the connection that it creates with audience members, because I remember that being the thing that made me fall in love with it initially. And I think it is the thing that continues to make it great, like especially in this show, because it's very like sad, like it's giving like drama. So at the end, to come out and see all the fans at the stage door being like crying and telling them, you know, them sharing that it's their first musical ever, or that they love the book so much and they think it's a great adaptation, and like just allowing something to be the thing that connects you with people. I think that's really beautiful. And for it to be something that is so fun and hard and different and exciting and like theatrical is, it's such a gift. I think connection is the thing that I love the most about it. Connection and community.
Yes, I love those answers and 1,000% support. Those are absolutely brilliant. And it leads into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I would probably have to say my parents went to New York when I was young, and they came back and they brought home three CDs. They brought home Hairspray, they brought home Rent, and they brought home Wicked. And I listened to those CDs back, front, forwards, upside down. They were torn up by the time that I finished them. And I had the chance to see the Wicked tour when I was in the 10th grade. And I remember, I like that. Oh, I've got my favorite theater memory. Oh, and it ties into this. So I remember seeing that show, and obviously I had created my own version of Wicked by listening to it in my bedroom and like acting out all the parts. And I'm sorry I did skip Sentimental Man. I think we all did. But the point was that I was so excited to see it from my imagination, like exploded into something even better than I could have imagined. And one of my favorite memories is in the Winter Garden when we were doing Back to the Future. There was this sweet little girl in the front row who knew every single word. And we didn't have a cast album out. It was the London version that had the cast album out. And so just to know that she had been listening to the tracks for months in preparation to see the show, and she was in the first row, she was sitting up and she was in it with us and she was singing along. I was like crying at the end of Act One, and I was like, I just remember being that little girl. I remember being that and being just so excited that I was in that space and that I was somehow kind of a part of it because I listened to the Wicked album when I was little, and now there it was. I remember feeling that, and now I'm doing it, and like that is such a cool. That was my favorite theater experience.
Oh, so beautiful. You were going to make me cry. That was such a beautiful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course. I was bawling. You can ask Hope about it. I'm sure she would remember. We brought her backstage. Her name is Casper. She like loves the musical theater world. Her dad is like the sweetest single dad that I've ever seen, brings her to all of the theater and makes sure that she's supported. And it was an emotional experience, to say the least.
Love it. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, are there any of the projects or productions that you have coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Honestly, the biggest thing that you could plug for me is my vlog series. It's called Call Me Emma. You can follow it or subscribe to it on YouTube at Emma Pittman Official. And that's the same handle as my Instagram and my TikTok if you would like to follow along. I love to connect, like I said, with people who, you know, feel seen or heard in the theater world, and especially through The Outsiders. And I'd love to give you a little slice of my life. So if you want to follow along, please do.
That's so much fun. And that's a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about The Outsiders or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out, how can they do so? You mentioned your Instagram is at Emma Pittman Official. Any other links or websites?
That's the same. I was going to say same for TikTok at Emma Pittman Official and my YouTube channel at Emma Pittman Official. I'm on my episode 4 of Call Me Emma, which will drop on Saturdays. And yeah, that's the best place to get the most information about me. Anything about The Outsiders, just go to theoutsidersmusical.com and everything you need to know will be right there.
Fantastic. Well, Emma, this has truly been just such a joy, such an honor. I just love seeing you continue to just thrive and succeed. It's all deserving. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My guest today has been the amazing actress Emma Pittman, who is currently starring as Cherry Valance in the Tony Award-winning musical, The Outsiders. It's now playing at the Jacobs Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting telecharge.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting in our episode description and social media posts. Make sure you follow Emma for all of the content she's producing. There's amazing stuff on TikTok, on YouTube. All of it's at Emma Pittman Official. So make sure you stay on top of what she's up to, because she continues to conquer and change the world. And you want to make sure you have a front row seat to that. And speaking of front row seats, get your front row seats right now for the amazing Tony Award-winning musical, The Outsiders, by going to telecharge.com. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.